Hello and welcome to the ToddSports.com Bama Beat Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Wickles Pickles and Homefield Apparel. A quick word on Wickles. Wickles, wickedly delicious pickles, relishes, okra, and much more. Wickles are proud to be album owned and made using a family recipe 90 years in the making. From Saturday sandwiches to Christmas dinner, their secret recipe used to be reserved for family and friends who were lucky enough to get their hands on a jar. But since 1998, they've been bringing the sweet heat and bold and tangy recipes into your home. Learn more about them at WicklesPickles.com and find them in your local store in the pickle aisle. Let's get wicked. I am actually taking some Wickles up to Indianapolis this weekend to take to our other sponsor, Homefield, because I want him to be able to try Wickles, and we're bringing the sponsors together. I'm joined, as always, by Sports Analyst of the News, Cecil Hurt. Cecil, how we doing?
Great, Hunter. How are you?
Doing good. Finally recovered from our drive home on Tuesday night after the game. That was a little bit of a rough trip.
But long day. It was a long
very,
day.
Very long day.
As you know, I had to get up and start writing and keep writing, but the game was certainly the best part. I'll say that.
For sure. And we'll get to that game. First, we're going to talk about Alabama's win over Iona at Hinkle Fieldhouse. Alabama wins 68-55. Not Alabama's best performance. I thought Iona made some shots. Iona took the lead in the second half with, at the 11:53 mark, they took the lead 42-40. And I was not having a great time. It was starting to look a little dicey. But Alabama then responded, went on an 11-0 run right after that. So kind of made it, at least made you feel a little better. Felt like Alabama had the game, the game in control. But not
I never felt like Alabama was going to lose that game.
I didn't really.
Iona did, Rick Pitino did a really good job of getting them ready. They played as hard as they could play, but you could tell their guards were getting worn down.
Right.
So it's one of those games that unless they just kept hitting an unconscionable amount of threes, which they really weren't doing. It's a situation where I don't know. I can't speak for everybody. I never felt like Alabama was in danger of losing that game.
I would agree. They didn't shoot great from three. Neither did Alabama. Alabama, a pretty low points per possession in terms of, if you look at the overall season, at 1 point per possession, but held Iona to 0.81, which is pretty good. It kind of made you wonder about, how things were going to look going into the next game. But I mean, I didn't really think it was it wasn't a great performance. It wasn't terrible. But you had to just, with the way it was another kind of like scrappy game where Alabama it's been the story for a while where they don't shoot the ball great. Find a way to win. Petty again, doesn't shoot great. He's 1 of 5 from three, but does some other things, finishes with 7 rebounds, and actually 2 blocks and picks up his first career hard hat award, which, I guess would be a sign of, it's kind of a good thing to come for him. It was good to see him get that. He was happy with that. And, Herb was really the story on offense, went for 20 and 6. Alabama did a good job on the boards. Just out rebounded him big time. It's really not a ton to talk about in that game.
It was interesting to be at Hinkle. It was, there were some interesting things about it, but it wasn't as memorable probably as the next game.
Right. Hinkle was incredible. I've always wanted to see a basketball game there. Finally got to, great experience. Had really good time pregame. They have a little cool little tap house near the arena that we went to. It was really, really good time. A lot of Alabama fans there. I was really
I did not go to the for the record, I was not at the tap house. I was
Cecil did not go to the tap house.
I'm on duty.
Yes, I did go to the tap house and had a few beers. But I was really impressed with how many Alabama fans were there. Only 1,700, I believe, allowed in attendance. But there were, obviously more Alabama fans than Iona fans, but a lot of Alabama fans there. and were pretty loud.
They were, and Hinkle's a good atmosphere, and it'll be a good atmosphere Sunday for the UCLA game, I think. I think there'll be another good group of Alabama fans coming in. If it were Saturday, I think there'd be even more, but you know, a lot of Midwestern fans and a lot of people going to go up and kind of hope they get past UCLA and are playing for a berth in the Final Four.
Right, right. So later that night, yeah, I think it was after our game. The best thing that, you know, the thing that most of us were, or Alabama fans were kind of hoping to happen, all we had heard about was what a tough matchup UConn would be for Alabama, and about how they were, they didn't, you know, they probably should have been a higher seed than a 7. Well, Alabama didn't have to worry about UConn. UConn did not play well at all against Maryland, and Maryland beats them. So Alabama faces Maryland on Monday at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. More fans were allowed at this game. Again, a lot of Alabama fans there. Alabama gets off to, you know, not the greatest start. Got down a little bit, but I thought it was interesting that we started, you know, start Gary at the 5 instead of Bruner, just because, you know, Maryland had their big, they had big guards, but they didn't really have a big 5. Like, their 5 was probably a normal 3 for most teams. So went small. I thought that was a really good move by Nate. And, you know, it was tied around the 10-minute mark. Alabama went on a 12-2 run to try to get some distance. But it was the second half run that was really the exciting part of the game. The thing that Alabama, I know myself, and I think other Alabama fans will always remember that little run right there.
Yeah, they went from Alabama went from 9 up to 23 up in about 2 minutes and change. You know, hitting threes, just really. And Mark Turgeon's a good coach, and I'm not down talking Maryland at all. But Maryland looked like they didn't know what hit them
right
in that phase of the game.
And they looked kind of like a lot of the Big Ten teams that I've seen. You know, obviously, the Big Ten has not had a great NCAA tournament. They're just not that quick at the guard position. Seemed like our guys were just able to blow by them. Obviously, Quinterly can blow by most guys, but he was really blowing by them, kind of putting on a clinic. But I will say this, if you had told me going into this game that, you know, Herb was going to only play 17 minutes, was only going to score 6, he was a minus 5 for the 17 minutes he was in, I would have said, you know what, I don't really feel great about that game. But other guys stepped up, and especially a guy who Alabama's been waiting to step up, and he did it in a big way, and that was John Petty Jr. with 20 points, 4 of 9 from 3, 6 boards, a couple of assists, just had a really, really good game.
I thought so, and it sort of a balanced effort, obviously, for Petty to shoot the ball the way he did. Shaq had another good game. It's hard to say. KenPom had Shaq as the MVP. I don't know, and he certainly played more minutes than Reese. But I thought Reese was really clutch. You know, Quinterly's 14 and 11, double-double. Not as much from Herb as you usually get, not as much from Keon as you usually get.
Mm-hmm.
Really didn't use, because Maryland decided to go small, didn't put Galen in there that much. Then Alabama, you know, didn't use Bruner, Rojas, any of those guys. So...
Rojas plays 2 minutes, Bruner with two minutes as well.
Yeah. And so, because there wasn't a matchup, it wasn't anything wrong. If they put Galen out there and Mariel out there, then Alabama would have countered with that. But you can stay small. You can have Juwan Gary, who also played really well. You can have him out there and getting 7 rebounds in 25 minutes and defending. So, you know, all those guys deserve credit on a night, again, where You know, Herb did what he does. He had 6 rebounds, but he didn't play 17 minutes. Keon didn't have his best game, although he did make a couple of baskets. So, but again, I thought Reese, and particularly one other thing, seeing Primo come back.
That was what I was about to say. Yeah, Primo, and he plays, he was a game time decision. We didn't even know that he was going to play. No, he plays 23 minutes, gets 10 points, 2 of 4 from three, 4 boards, had a really nice dunk put back. That kind of showed, I was not expecting him to have that explosiveness on the knee coming back so quick. But Oates talked about after the game about how he felt like we needed Primo in this game. He felt like Primo was ready and felt like we needed him due to the size of Maryland's guards, and it definitely paid off.
It did. It did. And Maryland's guards were good. You know, Wiggins scored 27 points, but they just didn't have much around them. And the one statistic that people hadn't talked about, Alabama out-rebounded Maryland 40-19.
Yep.
40-19.
The offensive rebounding rate was incredible. Alabama got 50% of offensive rebound. 50, like, you know, right. Missed shots, 50% of them. And that's going to create a ton. I mean, you had shot 66 field goals in the game.
Yeah. And you know, dominated the second half, second chance points. Didn't turn it over much. Neither team turned it over much. But Alabama didn't hurt itself with turnovers. So
39 all around performance.
Excuse me?
39 bench points.
Right. That's, you know, part of that's Quinterly coming off the bench. But then Reese comes off and gets 13. Primo, you know, you got three. It's one thing to get 39 bench points when you've got one guy come off and go off. Alabama had 3 bench guys in double figures. Quinterly, Primo, and Reese. So that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and Reese's shots were big, too. Like, and he was just feeling it. It's great that, you know, he was 2 of 2 in the Iona game and then 3 of 5 in this game.
Yeah, he's 5 of 7 in Indianapolis. So.
Yeah, so let's keep on shooting, Alex. Yeah, and then obviously we took, you know, I mentioned it, like seeing Petty start to make some shots, you feel like that's going to be a good thing going forward, especially after you saw him being just completely disrespected by that monkey at the Indianapolis Zoo a couple days ago. You got to think he's going to use that as a motivation as well.
Disrespecting the tide.
Yeah, we don't need that monkey disrespect. It needs to show proper respect. But that's been something cool to see, you know, that with the team being in the bubble, they finally got to go outside and do some things. They went to Indianapolis Zoo on Monday. Shout out Aaron Hepp, Crimson Tide Productions, put out some amazing videos from that. And then yesterday they went to Topgolf, which that video is a golfer and somebody who loves golf. Hilarious to watch, you know, some of those swings. I believe on Tyler, there was one time where Josh Primo like completely shanked a drive, and somebody in the background, Tyler Barnes had it on his Instagram story, and somebody in the background said Tiger Hoods. Just great content being coming from.
It's all about context. Bryson DeChambeau isn't going to go out on the court and slam dunk, but neither is Herb going to, you know, drive one straight down the middle for 300 yards.
If you tell Bryson he can, he might try to. He might try to. Maybe he'll lose. Maybe the beefy boy will lose some of that weight so that he can he can actually dunk. But I thought somebody posed a good question to Jay Sewell on Twitter. Jay was commenting on, you know, pretty much saying that, you know, this video shows that golf isn't about how good you are. It's just you can go out and have fun even if you're not good. Somebody asked him, like, who would be better? Our golfers playing basketball or basketball guys playing golf? I don't know if Cannon Kakem has a good shot or not, but I thought that was an interesting question. But yeah, it's just cool to see the guys out having fun. It makes me just, like, I love this basketball team. I would love to just see them do other random activities, and that's part of the thing that, like, why I don't want the season to come to an end. Not just because, you know, I want to see Alabama win a national championship, but also just because, like, I just love watching this team play. Like, that was so much fun on Tuesday night. Just, you know, it was just exciting, fun, and, you know, that's how the team's been for the majority of the year. So
yeah, I think it certainly was true in the arenas and in Indianapolis. And my understanding is that it was the same back in Tuscaloosa for everybody that was watching here. So, so that's great. That's the kind of atmosphere that you want. It was funny in the Maryland game. You know, our press seats are not down on the floor.
Yeah, I was actually a few rows in front of you.
Yeah, Hunter had a better seat than I did. So, but there was a pretty good group of Alabama fans in front of me, numbers wise. You know, probably that's the way the arena was. There'd be 60 or 70 fans, sort of, you know, one seat apart in one area, and then 60 or 70 here, 60 or 70 in another section. You know, scattered around the whole arena to be socially distant. But once Petty went on that streak, I was telling Hunter, you know, he hit the three, hit the one in the corner, and he came down the next time, and I think they threw the ball to him. He was about 35 feet away, and everybody in the Alabama section is like, pull!
I was definitely one of those people.
They just wanted to see John shoot again. So,
and he did.
And you could hear it all. And you could hear it all over the arena. So, some of the Maryland journalists and writers, they noted that it sounded, you know, that it took on the atmosphere of an Alabama home game.
Right. And then he drains it, and you hear pretty much everybody going boom, like everybody just knew it was going in.
Right.
So Alabama will move on to play UCLA on Sunday at Hinkle at 6:15. We'll talk about that and just kind of our overall thoughts on the NCAA tournament here on after a break here on the Bama Beat Basketball Podcast. Welcome back to the Bama Beat Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Wickles Pickles and Home Field Apparel. A quick word on Home Field Apparel. Home Field Apparel is a premium licensed collegiate apparel brand out of Indianapolis, ironically, that features incredibly comfortable, officially licensed apparel with vintage college designs. They've dug through Alabama's archives and found unique logos and made thoughtful designs and prints on the most comfortable tees and hoodies you'll ever own. I'm excited. Supposed to meet up with Connor, the guy who started Home Field. I'm going to meet up with him hopefully on Monday in Indianapolis. You maybe give me a tour of where all the magic happens. So, yeah, use the promo code BAMABEAT at homefieldapparel.com, and you get 20% off your first order. Also, a quick word, West Alabama's FCA Spring Banquet is coming up on April 27th. This is going to be a really, really cool opportunity. There's a great speaker coming in, Timothy Alexander, was supposed to play football at UAB, had a tragic car accident and became paralyzed. Really inspirational story on how he's able to battle back. He actually, you know, this happened in 2006 when he had his car wreck. He actually walked for the first time 10 years after that, was able to stand up on his own and appeared on the Today Show. It'd be a really good opportunity. So go to westalabamafca.org for more information. Registration opens on April 1st. So, Cecil, Alabama going back up, or they're staying in Indy. We're going back up to Indy to play UCLA. I think it's cool. Like, you know, UCLA, you know, I've seen, like, you know, some Barners on Twitter saying, oh, Alabama's getting such an easy road to the Final Four or to, you know, to the Elite Eight. I mean, you play Maryland and UCLA. Those are pretty two name programs. And UCLA is number 22 in KenPom. You know, they are an 11 seed. But I'm excited that we get to play UCLA. It's kind of a revenge game for 2006.
Everybody wants upsets in the tournament and Cinderella stories. And then when they happen, everybody's like the teams that survived didn't play anybody.
Right.
Yeah. And I'll say this, UCLA's last game, they, you know, Abilene Christian didn't really have much of a chance. Just not enough athletes going against elite coaches and elite teams that have been through Power Five schedules, and whether that's the SEC or the Pac-12 or the Big 12, wherever you want to say it. So you know, there's nobody who's ever been to the Final Four that has an asterisk that said easy path. You know,
right.
Asterisk denotes easy path. If you get there, you get there.
Yeah, just doesn't matter. Got Banner. UCLA's playing really good basketball right now. You know, they lost their last three in the regular season and then their first game of the conference tournament. But if you look at who those teams were, well, first of all, the Pac-12 has done great in the NCAA tournament. But if you look at those games they lost, it was to Colorado, who was number 10 in KenPom, yeah. Oregon, number 17 in KenPom, USC, 6th in KenPom, and then Oregon State, who's still alive. So some tough teams, and then they beat Michigan State in overtime. That was a great game, a great comeback win against Michigan State, and then beat BYU, a good team. Actually, had BYU beating them, and then beating Texas, and then beat Abilene Christian, who beat Texas. So
I didn't understand. BYU is a team that they scheduled well. You know, they played Gonzaga out at conference and. In conference and played them twice or three times, and helped their metrics that way. You talk about again teams that didn't, the Big Ten teams not impressing you with quickness. BYU wouldn't impress you with quickness either.
No.
UCLA a little bit better. They play the traditional. Old school Alabama point guard, couple of shooters, you know, an Ernest Shelton type guy, you know, some good athletes, throw it in the post when they can. Of the 16 teams remaining, they're 15th in tempo, and 16 is Loyola, who plays a different style a little bit. So Mick Cronin's going to slow it down, defend. They'll defend. Well, I think, again, not with quickness, but just with good fundamentals. So it's a challenge. It'll be a tough draw for Alabama. It's, there's not one thing that I look at UCLA and say, oh man, this is what they are great at and what they can really do. Ju Zhang is a good three-point shooter. They got a couple of other Jacquez, Bernard, both kind of 6'6 guys that can make a good percentage. 40% three-point shooters don't pull a lot, but will shoot three a game. Yeah, and you got to guard them or they'll shoot more than that. So.
They shoot
box against Abilene Christian almost doesn't tell me anything. They're just better.
Right.
They were just better. Against BYU, they shot it well. They shot 42%. Ju Zhang was 3 for 7. So, they have an additional game that obviously Alabama didn't have in the tournament, but I think Ju Zhang is 9 for 23 in three games. So, you know, not burying everything he shoots, but you've got to get out and guard him. You've got to respect him. He's their best player. Again, guy that couldn't crack the rotation at Kentucky last year, but, doesn't make him a bad player because the way Kentucky stacks guys.
Yeah, like you said, they're really slow, but Mick Cronin teams are traditionally very, very slow. I mean, they're in 300 in tempo pretty much every year, even when he was at Cincinnati. One difference, though, after I realized we were going to play him, I was looking at some of Mick Cronin's historical stats. Normally, his teams play defense really, really well traditionally. It seems not. I mean, they're not terrible in defense. They're 63rd in KenPom, but normally his team in Cincinnati are always like top 30 in defensive efficiency. But this team's more of an offensive team. I mean, they're 12th in the country in offensive efficiency. It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be all about Alabama. It depends on who's going to impose wills in this game, because like we said, they're 337th in tempo. Are they going to be able to slow things down? Are they going to look at, is Cronin going to talk to Rick Pitino, his former the guy who is mentor, about how to stop Alabama, because Iona did it, not a great job, but they at least were able to impose like the style. We weren't able to get up and down like we normally do. But if Alabama gets to run in, I just don't see UCLA being able to run.
I'll be interested to see how Alabama matches up some on defense. And of course, it's not just static for 40 minutes. You put different guys on different guys. But whether they try and have Herb discard Juzang a good bit of the time, try and keep the ball off of him, or whether they put him on Campbell a little bit, because he's 8 inches taller than Campbell. And Campbell's a penetrator and a distributor. He's not a great three-point shooter.
Uh-uh.
I don't know that he's had to work with somebody like Herb and pass over him and around him and so forth. So I think that they may do a little bit of that. So the matchups will be interesting. There'll be probably more. Gary's going to get his minutes. Might be more opportunity for Bruner. Also, almost a week off may help his knees a little bit. So you might see a little bit more of him. And then the two bigs that UCLA plays, they just really remind me of some of Wimp's Alabama teams, just the way their roster is structured.
A lot of long.
Try and pull those guys away from the basket. That's where Reese's shooting has been big. And they got to match up with somebody. So
This is one game where I think that having Primo back is going to be really good, because they have they just have a ton of 6'6 dudes who can shoot. Or
they
shoot it relatively, above
30%. Yeah, shoot well enough that you've got to get out on them.
Right. And you want to have the length of Primo and Ellis against them.
And Herb and Petty.
Obviously.
Yeah. So it'll be, one thing Keon, I didn't think had his greatest game against Maryland. He had 3 block shots.
Right.
Just a random stat that you don't think about, but, I think he's adjusting to the NCAA. I think he'll have a better game against UCLA. That's a game that suits him pretty well. So,
and another thing,
we'll be interested to see how Alabama defends them. We'll be very interested to see how UCLA chooses to defend Alabama.
Yeah, because with Alabama's starting lineup, who are you putting Campbell on?
Yeah, Alabama.
And imagine whoever you put him on, immediately Alabama's going to try to create a situation where we're posting that guy up. We're posting Campbell up. I would think.
Right. I mean, when Javon is in the game, then I guess that's
the matchup. Yeah.
There, but with Herb or even with Shaq, even Shaq is taller, 3-4 inches taller than Campbell. So, he's got to guard somebody. I'll say
right.
Another interesting thing. You're not going to zone him. You figure something out.
Yeah. Another interesting thing is that I saw teams have been shooting above their average at Hinkle Fieldhouse, other than Alabama. Alabama did not shoot well at Hinkle. Hinkle is traditionally a shooter's gym, and it's set up very similar to Coleman, as in, behind the goal, the seats kind of go straight up. I'm excited. I feel like we're going to shoot the ball much better than we did in the first game there. I think Petty is going to continue on, maybe not as well as he shot it, but I think he's going to continue to score. I think we're going to see tournament John Petty in full force, and so I'm excited about that. Just overall excited to get back to Indianapolis. I really had as an aside, a great, me and you had some good meals up there, some good times with some other Alabama fans. I had a really good time in Indianapolis, and I'm excited to get back.
I wish the weather was better.
The weather wasn't awful, though.
Days were sunny, and they were fine. They're fine, and one thing, the people in Indianapolis, they're excited to have it there, I think.
And they know basketball. Everybody there knows that it's going on. It's not like a case where you go to go to somewhere, when you go to LA for the national championship game, and nobody has a clue what's happening. Why are there Alabama people here?
And it's pretty neutral the way the field has worked out. Now, if Alabama plays Michigan, it'll be a lot of Michigan fans there, and yeah, that's not a difficult trip for them. So there'll be plenty of Michigan fans on hand for Florida State and for Alabama. But I think the Loyola fan base, which is probably 10% people who could have told you who Loyola was 2 years ago. But now they're all on the sister jean and wearing the scarves and all that stuff. There's a lot of Loyola fans who may or may not be Loyola alum.
Well, kind of looking around the NCAA tournament, Arkansas is the only other SEC team still in it, and they get Oral Roberts.
Now, they played Oral Roberts in December.
They did. And as I recall, it won by like 10, maybe.
Yeah, and Oral Roberts was up 10 at one point. That's almost a local game. Tulsa to Fayetteville is not very far. But they should be better than Oral Roberts.
Arkansas trailed 42-30 in the second half of that game. I vaguely remember. I think I watched that game. Like, I was watching it at maybe like session or something. And then, like, you know, you have an old fashioned, you look up, and the next thing you know, Arkansas is up by 10. Yeah. That score was 87-76.
You know, they beat Texas Tech, and I give them credit for that. That's a good win. Good win for the SEC. So, you know, their draw is pretty nice to the Elite Eight. And then I could see them. I would probably, if they faced Baylor, I would probably pick Baylor, but I could see how Arkansas could win that game, frankly.
100%. Completely agree.
They've represented the conference well and getting to the Sweet 16. Michigan State, Florida is going to be a heck of a game. Michigan and Florida State is going to be a heck of a game. I would lean toward Michigan, but
Florida State's hot.
Athletes.
Yeah, and I'm at the point now that I think I might almost, with seeing how the Big Ten's been, I might rather play Michigan than Florida State.
Yeah, if it's Florida State, they need to move and, you know, need to play it at the Houston County Coliseum there in Dothan.
Neutral site. Yeah. And then, you know, in the Midwest, you've got an eight seed, a 12 seed, an 11 seed, and a 2 seed.
Yeah, and I'm not in love with that 2 seed, frankly.
I think I had like West Virginia coming out of that side of the bracket.
I mean, Houston's won their 2 games, and, you know, again, credit to anybody who's done it, but Houston has not been overwhelming.
They beat Rutgers by 3.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, if they revise their bracket or if they look at that group, there's a lot of Loyola sentiment in that bracket. So we'll see.
Yeah, Loyola's playing Michigan State. And the only bracket we have not talked about would be the West bracket. And you've got number 1, Gonzaga playing Bama's biggest basketball rival, the 5 seed Creighton Blue Jays. Really pulling for Ohio in that game. And then UCSB, I mean, had a good shot against Creighton too. And then in the other side of the bracket, it's 6 seed USC, who's looked really good, and 7 seed Oregon, who just blew the brakes off of Iowa. That's going to be a fun game to watch.
That's going to be really good. I think Gonzaga will steamroll Creighton. Just my opinion.
They deserve it.
But yeah, that Oregon USC will be fascinating.
A track meet.
So it's one thing, the teams that are left almost uniformly are well coached teams. That's the thing. That's the thing I caution Alabama fans about UCLA. Cronin's a high level coach. There's a reason he's got the UCLA job. He's really good.
Right.
You know, Juwan Howard is like Nate Oates in his second year, but has you know, been outstanding in those 2 years. Leonard Hamilton, the veteran, really brings in the players and kind of lets them play. But, you know, had we had a tournament last year, I think you would have had a chance to win it last year.
Right.
And then, you know, turn right around and come back. But, you know, that's the thing about Arkansas, that if they play Baylor or Villanova, and this isn't a knock at Musselman, but I think that coaching would come into play in that matchup. And then certainly in the one wide open region we were talking about with Loyola and Houston, say what you want about Houston, and I hadn't been overwhelmed with them, but Kellen Sampson's a good coach.
Yep. So, yeah, overall, it's been a fun tournament. Excited. You know, me and Cecil are heading back up on Saturday. I'm going to stay up there until either Alabama loses or wins a championship. Excited for it. Just it's really just fun to be playing for out as a fan to see Alabama playing a really meaningful game in late March.
If anybody can recommend a good laundromat in Indianapolis.
No, dude, I looked up our hotel. Okay. It's got on site.
Oh, nice. Excellent.
Yeah, we're going to be all set, dude. Yeah, I've already researched. Yeah, the hotel, things around it. Yeah, we're all set on that run.
Excellent. Because I don't want to have to pack.
Just bring some quarters.
16 changes. Yeah, we can do that. So, yeah. Yeah, looking forward to it. You know, whether it's believe me, UCLA is good enough that it could all end Sunday. Alabama's good enough that this could be the year they make the Final Four.
Just get chills thinking about it. All right, well, we will record from if Alabama should win and stay up in Indianapolis. We will record.
Yeah, we'll record. We'll record next Wednesday, probably one way or the other.
Yeah, either way. Hopefully, we're in Indianapolis.
Whether that's in Tuscaloosa or Indiana.
Yeah, so. All right, well, yeah, as always, you can check us out on TideSports.com and listen to the podcast there. You can listen to it on iTunes, Spotify. Found out we are on Spotify, so, yeah, listen to us there. Really appreciate all y'all listening. You know, please subscribe, leave reviews. We'll probably do it at the end of the season, probably do a postseason mailbag, and maybe even, you know, another interview with Coach Oates like we did last year. So we enjoy doing this, and we're glad that y'all enjoy listening to it.
Yeah.
This has been – go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate everybody going on Tide Sports to listen, and really appreciate the readership that we've had and people subscribing to read about Alabama and you know some of the stories about Kim Petway's story and you know about Avery Johnson's, about how this team was built. We've gotten really good response, and I want to thank everybody. I think we've got a subscription special where it's like $1 for 3 months if you want to follow with spring football and of course, the run to the Final Four.
Hopefully. So.
Oh.
All right. Well, this has been the Bama Beat Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Wickles Pickles and Home Field Apparel.